to another Early Years podcast. My name is Jackie Ward and I'm the founder and managing director of the Early Years Learning Hub. This podcast is part of our practice sharing series. And today we're talking with Sue Garrett on one of a little set of things that Sue's been chatting with us about: sustainability, technology, and today we're talking about excursions. We'll also talk about leadership. And I'm so excited to be talking about this one with Sue because I'm a big fan of Out of the Gate programs as well. So Sue is the director of the Excellent Rated Service, Explore and Develop at Annandale. So I'm going to ask you, Sue, to tell us a little bit about your background and your professional journey.
Thanks, Jackie. Yes, so I've been the director and I'm the approved provider of Explore and Develop Annandale for 12 years since it opened. And we are a little 56-place long daycare service in inner city Sydney. We're located on top of a supermarket, on a rooftop of a supermarket, which will become... it's really important when we start to talk about excursions. And, yeah, that's our little service.
Well, that is awesome. I know that I guess this topic of taking children out on excursions is a little sort of contentious, I guess, because I think people get a little nervous and anxious around, you know, you've definitely got a lot more control over the safety of children when they're inside the gates.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think, you know, like when children are understimulated in an environment, it can also be quite dangerous as well, because children might do some dangerous things within that space, or there might be a lot more challenging behaviours, all sorts of different things. So I think going on an excursion, and also if we think about the Early Years Learning Framework, particularly learning outcome number two, where children connected to their community, how can we possibly achieve that learning if we're not bringing children out into that space? So I think it's a critical part of the program. So how do you see excursions as part of your program and facilitating children's learning?
When you ask me that question, my notes say this is a huge part of our identity as a service. So it being out the gate, like we just call it going on excursion, is the biggest, I think, part of our identity as a service. It's really, really embedded. So all of our children from where they're birth through to the five-year-olds all go out on regular excursions, and there's so much that I can talk to you about this, but they are spontaneous and they're also planned. I suppose... the first things are that it's embedded in our enrolment forms. So excursions, information about excursions, how and why and everything are shared with families when they go on our wait list. We talk about them on tours and orientation, and we have an ongoing yearly excursion form that families sign, and every family does sign those because we're so explicit that this is what we do. But they don't have to, and children don't have to go on excursion either. And there are times where children, it's not safe for particular children to go on excursion, but we work through that. So I suppose the biggest thing I would say to people about excursions is, obviously, the more you do them, the safer and the better that they are. So to me, the most stressful and the worst type of excursion is taking a group of two-year-olds out either on public transport or a bus or something to a public space like the art gallery or the aquarium on a one-off excursion. That's really tricky. People don't understand their rules, the rules and what's going to happen. It's a one-off, so they haven't learned previously how to do those things. And the children are really unfamiliar, and that's where it is risky because you don't know how the children are going to act. So what we do, and we've been doing excursions like this for probably 8 or 9 years. So when we started, and I suppose that sometimes that's what people want to know, we had a core group of people who were interested in nature play, and they did some training through Randwick TAFE and the Early Years Learning Connections on how to be out in nature. And things like Bush School and things like that. And there's some organisations like Early Years Nature Connections in New South Wales are a good organisation that support that sort of thing. So we had a few, you know, five or six core educators that were able to help other educators to learn how to do excursions. And we never made anybody go out on them. We supported the gradual learning of how to do excursions, and what we've built over time, lots of parameters, instructions, and how the excursions actually happen. And we're very explicit because we know can be quite dangerous.
It's interesting that you have said, and it's a common theme that I'm picking up with you, Sue, is take your time.
Yes.
Do research.
Yep.
Help everyone to feel comfortable and knowledgeable and understand, and take small steps at things.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to do. And I can speak to the experience of taking children on bigger excursions. I've had some quite disasters.
It's not awful.
No one was hurt, but it was just disorganized. It wasn't planned enough. You know, like they're just. And they're, it's big, isn't it? It's massive.
Yep.
You've got to get public transport and, yeah. Like I said, I'm embarrassed to say that I, you know, got off at the wrong station when I took someone somewhere in Homebush, and I was like, why didn't I do a dry run of this, you know?
Yes.
But even still, it was probably too bigger an excursion at the time anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, that idea that you're just basically taking children out in the gate, and if you later on feel more comfortable and you want to do something bigger, that's great, but children have had the groundings of the, you know, knowing what the road safety issues are whenever they leave your gate. They understand about those things. They're familiar with the idea of counting heads and all the kind of stuff that you need to do to make sure you feel comfortable as an educator.
Yeah. So it's the beginning of the year, so I'll tell you what's happening at the moment in our service. Like, so we're at the end of, I think, week three or week four of end of January. So our two-year-old children who've all moved up from our birth to two-year-old room are in a two to three group. There's 10 of them with two educators. And so they are already used to going out the gate. They were going out the gate in their other classroom. But now that they're two, they can go a little further and they're in a new room. So this week they've been practicing going down the stairs. So, and getting themselves ready for an excursion and going down the stairs. So when the children, the educators might say, who wants to go out on an excursion today? And it's like, yep, me. Then it's okay, then you need to do your jobs to be able to go out. And those jobs are to go to the toilet if they're toilet trained, or make sure their nappy is clean, make sure they've got sunscreen on, make sure they've got a hat, have a drink of water. They put a name tag on and they find a buddy because they go in, they hold hands in, so they're in pairs, and then they're ready to go. So if a child doesn't want to wear a hat or they don't want to put their sunscreen on, then they need to stay at school. In fact, a child that doesn't put the sunscreen on needs to stay inside. That's another story. So... they then know, you know, they come out into the foyer, they're, you know, we sign everybody out, make sure everyone's got hats, and as I said, they go down the stairs. And this is always, it's such a good preparation for fire evacuations and things like that. And I would say, like, it really is... the excursions are one of the biggest school readiness tasks or practices that we do, because the children must follow instructions to keep each other and themselves safe.
I love that too, that you're sort of empowering children to have agency and responsibility, you know, that understanding,
yeah.
again, coming back to learning outcome number two, you know, the understanding of interdependence and the roles and responsibilities of being part
yeah.
of a group. That's a really yeah. good example of that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you want to do this, there's some responsibilities that come with
yeah.
it, you know.
And we need to be safe. We're keeping each other safe. We're keeping stuff. So, and this group of children will be taking a route at the moment where they sort of walk right out of our centre, sort of take another right, walk down a path, walk back up the street, and they're back in the centre. So they might be out for like a half an hour or so at the moment doing that little excursion. So it's just really about being out, seeing what's out on the paths and coming back. And that leads through to like our preschool children walking about, I don't know, just over a kilometre to either the foreshore or White's Creek wetlands. They're the two furthest that we walk. And they will stay out for a picnic lunch and stay out for kind of half a day, like 5 hours or something, and then be back. So they range, yeah.
That sounds amazing. I'm really interested to hear about that. We're very fortunate where I work with it. We're quite near an Aboriginal art gallery. So we did a little one last year, which was a great opportunity to map out our course and our direction. And it was a really good opportunity. But and also we're part of a school as well, so we do get to go and do lots of things in the school.
Yeah.
But that idea that you mentioned about it being, you know, part of that sort of school readiness and whatnot, I couldn't agree more, you know, that idea of children will, even from kindergartners, move on when they're in that school space, and they will be doing, you know, moving from classrooms to hallways and all that kind of stuff. They're things that, you know, you do need to be practically ready for, don't you, you know?
So there's... there are other, so we have spontaneous excursions. So that's what I was just explaining then, where the team might say, hey, last week we saw this. Do you want to go and have a look at what's happening there again? Or a child might say, can we go to the bush block and have a look at this? And that would happen in their morning meetings. In the morning, they might say, can we do that today? And the team will say yes or no. We often go in small groups. So it's very rare that, you know, I'm going to say usually our preschoolers out, we might take 15 out, but it's very rare that it's more than that. And we do have some inclusion support as well, and we have a non-teaching educational leader. So, and I don't teach either. So sometimes I can jump into the classroom or Mel or one of us can jump on excursion. And then we also have some planned excursions. So these would be, we need to plan the ones where they're out for lunch, because we obviously need to plan for their lunch.
Yep.
We also do some bus excursions. So our two and three-year-olds will catch the bus up to the local library at Glebe, and that's planned so that we can make sure every child gets a go at going to the library. And then depending on what is happening in the program, we do bus excursions to the city. So last year our 3 to 4 year old group and our 4 to 5 year old group went to the Jeannie Baker exhibition, which was held in the Botanic Gardens. And so when we do those sort of excursions, we'll do them over a 2 or 3 week period, where we'll take two educators and up to 8 children on the bus to do that. And then we'll just repeat it with the different children until everybody's got to go. And I do feel, yes, it is a luxury to be able to do that, but it's also really quality for children. And, you know, no art gallery wants, you know, 34-year-olds running around, and it's just much safer and much better quality for us to do that. So we're incredibly lucky that we can catch a direct bus straight into the city and get to the Australian Museum or the New South Wales Art Gallery fairly easy. And I know that that's not everybody's experience, but
I guess it's about finding out what's in your neighbourhood and what's manageable.
That's right. Yeah.
But I love that idea that you're thinking about smaller groups too, because one of the disastrous episodes I had, our service, we caught the train into the when the Powerhouse Museum was still open in Ultimo there, and I had lots of parent helpers with us, but that was sort of like a bit detrimental as well, because I had pretty much one for one, which so children were relatively safe, but the adults weren't being very good listeners for me. And I had people from one end of Chalmers Street Tunnel to the other, which feels like it's about a kilometre. I was like pulling my hair out going, I can't keep everyone safe. You know?
I think I've done that excursion too. One thing, what I will say about parent helpers is, if you are going to have them, you must train them very well, and you must really give them really clear expectations of their role and how they need to do it, because they can't duck off and get a coffee, and they can't just decide to take their child at the end or whatever it is. Yeah, we've used them
at times. Or offer people food and whatever that they brought from home that might not match everyone's dietary requirements. Yeah. And even, I think, too, a bit of a guide as to how to respond to their child when they're in that situation as well, you know. Yeah. And, I think
that could be done through, like, a Zoom briefing or something before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the other things.
About thinking and planning, isn't it, that idea of, how is everything going to roll? And the more you think about it, the more likely you are to cover off on any contingencies, aren't you?
Yeah, so things like risk assessments. We do a yearly site risk assessment for all of our local sites. If we ever go to the museum or whatever that is, we always do a risk assessment for that particular excursion. We also do site scoping every time we arrive at an excursion place. So when we get there, the children will sit and one of the educators will do a good scope around the area. The other thing that we've done with risk assessments is, for example, when we did that Jeannie Baker excursion, we had a meeting. We just did a half hour on Zoom with all of the educators who would be attending that that excursion over the 2-week period, and the person who did the risk assessment just talked through the process of exactly what you would just to try and not, you know, get off at the wrong stop or to, you know, she talked through how she did her risk assessment and what her idea of how the excursion would run, so everybody was on the same page.
That is a really very helpful tip, Sue, that idea of when you get there too, to do that risk assessment, and a nice way to involve children in understanding and recognising risks and risk management, you know.
Yeah.
That's definitely something I'll, a little note to self, I'll pop that in my list of things. But, yeah, I think that was definitely one of those things. And I think you've mentioned too about getting families on board. And I was going to ask you, you know, have you ever had anyone who's like, no, I don't want my child to go, but, if it's part of what you talk about from the very word go, you are clearly letting families know if that's not their cup of tea, then maybe this isn't the right space for them as well.
We have done that. So we do two things with orientations. We do invite families on to come along an orientation on an excursion with us as part of their orientation.
That's a great
generally idea. Generally, most of the children that we enrol in our service are under 2. So, and most of those enrolments are done, you know, starting in January. So we do a number of orientations that we call plays in the park. And so we invite the families to come in small groups to join us on an excursion at the park, and they can meet other people and they can see what actually happens with their baby when we take them out of the centre. If we enrolled a new 3-year-old, then we would ask them to come along on an excursion with us as part of that orientation so they can see that whole process. We've in the past, and you know, we have had families that didn't want their child to go out, and I think we'd just be really open about how much of our time we are spending out and how much of our program is created when we are out, and what, how we can include their child in the program. There's, as I said, there's also times when we have to be really open with families to say, at the moment, your child is still learning how to go out safely, and we're not there yet. So they might stay back with another group. But we've learned to be really open about that, so that we can all, you know, work together.
Well, and I think what's, you know, radiating from you is that idea of helping families to feel comfortable with it as well. I love that idea of orientation and play date, and, you know, so it might not be for another service, it might not be excursions, but whatever is your big thing at your service, including families in that as part of their orientation, is a great idea, isn't it? To say if they've got questions, they can see how it goes. Because I remember, you know, like thinking in the past, oh, imagine, you know, like if you, as a family member, you know, I go on excursions with children, so I know what it's like, but a family member wouldn't know what that's like, especially, you know, they might know once their child goes to school, but when they're little, how will it work? How will people manage, you know, that situation? And even the opportunity to talk then, obviously, they would witness you doing your risk assessments and your number checks and your, all the things that they know families can go, oh, yep, my child is safe, you know.
And I mean, we're in a pretty urban community where lots of the families who come to us have already seen us out in the parks on excursion. About 50% of the families have said to us, "Oh yeah, we've seen you out, so therefore
they know.
You know, we know what you do." So that helps as well, because they without even knowing us, they see how the team is working.
Is working, That's amazing. Well, that has been an absolutely enlightening and enriching conversation about excursions. Thank you again, Sue, for sharing all of your wisdom and your practical ideas and your outlook on different things. It's been amazing talking to you. So I'm going to say we'll sign off on this episode of the Early Years Learning podcast. And thank you again for your time, Sue.